Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We all need some good news, and I've got some really fun things to tell you about to start the show with today. I'm always so fascinated with people that are really creative, and I want to let all of you know that by special approval of the governor, Calvary Church will be hosting a drive-in style service for Easter morning at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. Calvary will be mandating that all attendees will remain in their vehicles throughout the service. They're going to set up a big stage out in the parking lot on the east side of the church, and they are going to be providing tickets. They're going to be free. In addition, both services, or I should say the 11 a.m. service, will be aired live simultaneously on four local TV stations, all of the stations associated with KRQE Channel 13 in Albuquerque. So that 11 o'clock a.m. service on Easter Sunday will be live on television. And if you can obtain a ticket to drive into the parking lot, you can participate in all the music and celebration. Everybody will have to stay in their cars, but it'll be kind of fun. I think it'll be a blast. And this will give us the opportunity as a church to reach what we believe could be millions of people and let a few of you in a couple of different services come into the parking lot. Now, we're going to have more details at calvaryabq.org, and we have a couple of different handles. You can get to the Calvary website, but tomorrow the tickets will become available, and you can find out all about that on the website. So make sure you go to calvarynm.church or calvaryabq.org, and you can get all that information. Now, here's one other thing that I just thought is amazing. I want to read to you a press release about how some people are really stepping up with what I will call no matter what kind of love. These are not conditioned upon the way people believe. They're not, but it is the faith community, is people that believe in Jesus that are doing these kind of things. Let me read this to you. A local church will be paying off over $500,000 of medical debt in four counties in New Mexico. Harvest Fellowship, ABQ, will pay off medical debt of low-income people on Easter Sunday. The congregation of Harvest Fellowship ABQ has bought $579,876.82 of medical debt in Taos, Sandoval, Santa Fe, and Valencia counties through an RIP medical debt company that works with churches to buy large amounts of medical debt in a community at a fraction of the cost. The company uses precise data analytics to pinpoint medical debt of those in most need of relief. Households where their income is less than two times the federal poverty level guidelines or are insolvent are eligible. This is amazing. They're going to pay off literally close to $600,000 of medical debt, and that is the Harvest Fellowship ABQ. If you want more information about this, you can contact the church. Their phone number is 214-538-6104. Amazing thing. We're going to have Pastor Jason Dickinson on the program next week before Easter to talk about this more in depth. So I thought that was two great pieces of good news related to this epidemic that we're all dealing with. And now we're going to have some encouragement from our old friends Bert and Anitra Perez. They are the founders of Sacred Marriage Ministries. They provide both premarital and marital counseling, and they have had the awesome experience personally of committing themselves as individuals to the Lord and actively seeking Him out as He renewed their marriage in a miraculous way. 20 years together, Bert and Anitra, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Hey, how you doing, Jim? It's a privilege to be here with you.
Thank you, guys. And I understand you're spoiled. You got your granddaughter back in town and your son and his wife. So I'm envious.
Yeah, so it's good to be together again, you know, and just to be able to take on this moment and make the best out of it. You know, it's time to be together and to be, I don't know, that different perspective and to understand that we're blessed to have each other in our lives. And I was thinking about this the other day, me and Anitra, where when I was thinking about some of our friends and even my mom and my a couple of my friends that are alone at the, in these times, they don't have anybody at home with them, you know. So I looked at Nietzsche and I said, you know what, I just feel so blessed to be able to have somebody to live this life with through this crisis. And not only through this crisis, everyday life.
Yes.
And sometimes we lose sight of them.
Yes. Anitra, how are you holding up?
I'm not as good as Bert, Jim. I'm going to be honest. This is probably outside of my comfort zone. Not that I'm panicking or scared. It's just working from home, trying to be clean and safe and, you know, stay up to date, but not overwhelmingly up to date with what's happening in the world. So I've had a few come to Jesus moments with Bert where he knew I was feeling a little unsettled, and he can tell with the way I act. I'll start complaining about, you know, how the dishwasher is being loaded or, you know, them being too loud while I'm trying to work. So Bert has been such a good sport through this, and it's been nice to not be fighting, and he's understanding. So it's a new way of life for me, and I'm the one that gets him settled.
So you're not making him sleep on the couch yet, right?
No.
Well,
it's because he's handling it well.
Yeah, well, and you know, he's a very diplomatic young man. He really is, and he's learned that over a lot of years. But I want to give everybody a little bit of history. You've, of course, been on the program, regular contributors to ABQ Connect, and we appreciate that very much. In fact, this has got to be 10 or 12 times you've visited with us in a year, and we really appreciate all your insight. What I want to give people the background on, though, is that you guys have been together for a really long time, and for maybe as much as 40-50% of that time, you were not believers. But you came to faith in Christ, and then you really changed your marriage around. Tell us just a little bit about your testimony.
So we are high school sweethearts, but at year 10, when we got married, we became roommates. Frustration and irritability settled in, and we just couldn't see eye to eye. And we both stepped outside of the marriage and had affairs. And that was our breaking point where we realized, hey, what are we doing? We need to change things, change our ways. Then we were invited to church by our neighbors, started attending church, and the Lord miraculously worked or redeemed our marriage. We were able to see what we were doing individually to hurt our marriage and let the Lord really move in our lives. We were receiving that from him, and he healed our marriage and restored our marriage.
And I guess that's what the big part was. It wasn't about pointing the fingers about who did what wrong or who wasn't doing what in the marriage. We came to that realization of what did God want us to do in our marriage, and what we weren't doing. We weren't living for God. Mm. Yeah, we were living as individuals instead of living for each other, you know, for living a purpose for Christ in our marriage, you know, being that servant in our marriage, not only for our spouse, but for our kids and our families around us too, just to be that example.
Well, it sounds like you've not only renewed your marriage, but you guys are growing together and having fun together. And that's where we're going to start our conversation today, is how can married couples use this time where we're all at home, we're in quarantine, how can they use it productively to strengthen their marriage?
And I think this is the best time to kind of study each other more and to understand each other better instead of letting this time put them apart. Because I was watching the news the other day, and they were talking that around this time it's going to cause a lot of couples to divorce. Mm. And I was like, well, not necessarily in that. Unless you kind of take that perspective and understand we're two different people with two different perspectives, doesn't mean that Anitra's wrong with feeling a little bit unsettled with all this coronavirus. It's that we have a different perspective in it, but I'm understanding too, yes, we have to be safe about it. We have to have concern about it. We can't just treat it like any other everyday virus. You know, it is. It's creating a big stress on everybody's life, and
Yeah, I think it's the unknown.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
The entire world is at the edge of their seats, not knowing, and nobody's ever experienced this. So it's really taking that level of understanding. What we're seeing is where one spouse thinks it's a big deal and the other one doesn't. So it's causing a lot of conflict. And I think it's because of the unknowns, we as spouses need to take into consideration the spouse who is, you know, unclear and feeling a little anxious. Like, that's like Bert is doing. It's his time to shine and build me up and not minimize how I'm feeling and saying I'm overreacting, because we see that. We're couples. Maybe, you know, the husband thinks the wife's overreacting and he'll minimize how she feels, and it just causes more conflict. So I think it's just taking it day to day, letting go of the past in this moment, because you really have to be a team player, not bring up any issues from the past. You really have to face the day to day, moment by moment, just like Jesus says in scriptures, there's enough, you know, to worry about in the future. Just worry about today. So it's really being on the same team and taking it moment by moment.
Anitra, I was speaking with a friend of mine today, and he's been married. He and his wife been married for 30 years. And early in their marriage, they had a few problems. And he shared with me that, and this is actually common to three or four different couples now that I think about it. They've shared with me that their wives, when they feel a lot of pressure, like they may feel pressure now, bring up things that happened 20, 25 years ago that have really been already addressed, in many cases, apologies and asking forgiveness and all of those things have taken place on both sides. But these men shared with me that in some way they've just looked at their wives and said, hey, what, you're bringing this up now. What can I possibly do about it now? We've already talked about this years and years ago. Is that fairly common in your experience to see people bringing up things from the past that have already been addressed?
Absolutely. And I experienced it in my marriage, Jim, and it's something that we can't control. Something will trigger that. And especially now during this time, there's going to be some old wounds that are reopened. I mean, people who have lost a parent or lost a loved one can start crying and start bringing up, you know, all these feelings. So, for husbands to say we've already handled this and not take into consideration how their wives are feeling is a big no-no. And then as just, I think they need to be understanding and not say, well, we already solved this. They're feeling it for a reason. But at the same time, we as wives need to process that before we, you know, take it out on our husbands. We need to really visit that with the Lord and ask him, why am I feeling this way, Lord? If that's really a healing process between you and the Lord, but then your husband is there to pick you up. That's why God created marriage, right? Two are better than one. So it's just be very sensitive and understand things from the past will come up. But we as wives also have to remember, is this really an issue we need to talk about now?
Right.
And an aspect that I wanted to talk on that point, Jim, is when women are talking about that and they're being led by that emotion, and I went through this for a long time, and this is where I was getting defensive a lot with Anitra, because I made it about me all the time. Every time she'd bring something up, I'd get defensive and I'd make it, well, I guess I never do anything right. She's always attacking me, you know. But it's whenever fears or emotions kind of are triggering them, it's not about you. It's nothing about us. The more you let them talk and the more they hear themselves about what's on their mind and what's on their heart, the more that they're answering their own questions. And it's crazy to hear that and to say that, but they're self examining themselves, I guess, by hearing themselves talk.
It's just about understanding.
Well, I want to shift gears a little bit, and I'm, you know, in our culture today, women largely are with the kids more than husbands are. I think that's fairly common. It may be changing as we have more and more women getting professional jobs in the workforce. And all of the equal opportunity things and stuff that have been rightfully pushed are really changing our culture. But here's my question. Now that we're all home all the time and the kids are not at school, that, you know, taking care of kids, I had five children. Their mother did a great job as a mom. But I think that women in general are maybe feeling a little bit captive and maybe a little claustrophobic. And I want to ask Anitra, what can Bert do to give you a break from being a mom while in close quarters with the kids?
You're absolutely right, Jim. This is just a method. It's going to cause so much chaos, and we already are seeing it because kids are at home now. There's more stress in the homes than ever before, and the school's piling on all this work for moms to take care of on top of the housework is creating more stress, and then you have your husband in the office working with that demand, he's unsettled because he doesn't know what's going to happen. They're the providers. They're the protectors. So they're stressed out. So I think it's very important to have structure for your day, to have, we as wives need to prepare the day, have a game plan, know what's going to happen, have a schedule, lunchtime if you need a nap. Those type of things, fill every hour of your day with, not that you have to accomplish everything, but have some kind of structure. And your husband can step in. Maybe during their, you know, lunch break, they can kind of take over the study with the kids. Or they stay up later and work, you know, later in the evening, and their wife gets the kids ready for bed. It's just really alternating and asking your spouse, where can I help you today? Mm-hmm. But we as wives understand our husbands are under a lot of pressure as well. Mm-hmm. And working from home is very hard. And that's where I am now. Works for the school, so he's not working right now. And I'm working from home, and he's taken on the lead to take care of the housework and the cooking and the grocery shopping. So what I need from Bert is to really take on those things that I can't do. So it's critical for our spouses to jump in when we need that extra help. Because being a housewife and a corporate America wife working, it's very difficult.
Right. Well, Anitra, when we come back, I want you to share a little bit about your professional career and a little bit about how Bert can continue providing you a little relief as you're taking care of the household and working and all of that. And then we're going to switch it around and talk about it the other way. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. More with Bert and Anitra Perez. They are marriage and premarital counselors. They have a lay ministry that's they've been doing this a long time. They have a great testimony. We hope you'll stay on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we in turn encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge, Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business heard on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. You'll get none of the hocus pocus, hokey pokey stuff the other guys try to pull. So here's the deal. We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Come see why others rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at MyPowerFord.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for staying with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. We have Bert and Anitra Perez, Sacred Marriage Ministries, on the phone with us. But before I get to Bert and Anitra, I want to remind everybody that a lot of businesses out there, especially restaurants and food preparation type oriented businesses, are really in need of our help. One of them is a sponsor here at KNKT and of ABQ Connect. That's Sergio's Bakery and Cafe. They are located at 2740 Wyoming, Suite 8. They have curbside pickup. You can call in for some great donuts, pastries, breakfast burritos, burgers. Custom cakes might be the best thing that they do, but they're absolutely delicious. You can call them at 505-554-2602. Bert and Anitra, I have to thank our sponsors like that. I hope you don't mind, but great place for you to go when you, especially when we get all this over with. Great cup of coffee and some special donuts and pastries at Sergio's.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a great place to go.
Well, you guys live out in Rio Rancho. Sergio's is up on Candelaria in Wyoming in the Fidelity Square, but like most restaurants, they are, baking things, being especially careful about how they handle things, package things, curbside pickup, all of that good stuff. So appreciate you letting me get that little spiel in for them. Let's get back to another question for Anitra. We're talking about the coronavirus and the quarantining that we're all be doing in home, and how couples are staying together all the time and have the kids. And kids have a tendency. I have five. They're all grown up now, but if a husband doesn't really participate in raising the kids, that is a major problem, period. But if you're locked in a home with all of these kids and the husbands still aren't picking up the ball, that's an even bigger problem. I have to tell you a quick joke, and I've told you this. It's not a joke. It's really a story. But I was eating in a restaurant here. This is 3-4 years ago, and there was a group of 4 or 5 women, and they were all complaining about the lack of participation that their parents showed in raising their kids. For example, changing diapers and feeding baby formula and doing those types of things. And, you know, they were right next to me. I couldn't help but overhear them. A couple of them smiled at me. And I finally stood up when I was done with my meal and I said, "Ladies, I can't help but hear what you were saying. And I want you to know this. Not only did I participate, but I will race any of you in changing diapers, because I was a professional diaper changer, let me tell you." So I want to appeal to husbands out there. Yeah, if you're not doing that kind of stuff, you need to learn how to do it. You need to be doing it. And Anitra, let's talk now. We've already talked about how a husband can give their wife a break from being a mom while living in close quarters. You even mentioned take the kids so you can take a nap. And I know there's people that are not taking naps necessarily, but maybe get the kids out of the house. You can, you know, go out in the backyard and play, or play catch, or maybe you can take a walk. Of course, maintain all the correct social distancing and all of that. But there's a lot of things people can do. Here's a real personal question though, Anitra. What do you need to hear from Bert to be encouraged during this time?
What we do, and what I love that Bert does, is before we start our day, we're always in gratitude. We're asking God to what I love is he always leads me in prayer before the day starts. It's you know, Lord, thank you for everything. You know, let us be a blessing to others. Show us what we can do type of thing. So that always sets the tone. And then he's always offering Anitra, what can I do to help you today? Mm-hmm. And we as wives, that is priceless when we hear that from our husbands, because we don't want to have to keep asking our husbands to do something. And I think that's the biggest frustration with wives, is we've asked you to do something, and if we have to keep reminding you, it's just frustrating. So for your husband to go out of his way and ask before the day starts, how can I help you? Or Bert has always made my lunch in the mornings, and he knows it takes me a little longer to get ready. So he'll make my lunch. He'll prepare the lunch for me, pack my lunch, make me coffee. And it's just those little things that help me start off my day off to a good start.
That doesn't sound like a big ask, Anitra.
It's not.
But I can tell you, there are men listening to this program right now that are going, oh, I'm not making her lunch. I'm not doing any of that stuff. And the truth is we got to break that down. This is a very crazy time. And if you can use this as a training time and as a blessing time, and really not just for this time of the coronavirus quarantine, but in your relationship overall, learn how to be thoughtful and think of things without being asked. That's what the husbands need to do. Now, Bert, we're going to switch this around in just a minute, you know, what you need to hear from Anitra and so forth. But the last question I have, Bert, is spiritually, what do you think the most important thing is a man can do for his wife right now?
And spiritually, I think it's just being able to be that prayer warrior with her. And that's what we love doing together. I love to pray with her. And not only do I love to pray with her because I feel at peace with God, but whenever we start praying, it's like listening to worship music for me, because I love to hear Anitra pray. You know, whenever she starts praying, we start praying together. It's like a music being played. And it's just, I don't know, I'm already getting emotional. You guys already all know that I'm an emotional kind of guy, but that's what I love the most, is being able to lead her in prayer. And whenever something's going down, you know, I'd like to remind her that, hey, things are kind of rough right now, but let's say a little prayer. You know, let's get to a better place, because it's not about us. It's about the purpose that the Lord put us on this earth for. Mm. And a lot of times we get so anxious and so off the edge because we're worried about us. We're worried about just an individual instead of a bigger picture.
Right.
Yeah, Jim. And another thing, too, Bert just turning on the TV and putting worship music on. And when I'm blasting the worship music and singing, he doesn't ever complain or say, what are we doing? He's always been on board. And believe me, I understand not all husbands are that way. But when our husbands do engage in being the spiritual leader, don't criticize him, wives. Like, I've seen that happen too many times, where the husband is trying, they know, they already get enough about it at church, where they're not being the spiritual leaders. They already get enough about how they're not being the spiritual leaders of the home. So it's very critical for us wives, when they do pray or when they do something that's out of their comfort zone, we praise them instead of criticize and say they're not doing it right, or I wish you'd be like so-and-so's husband, right? That is the worst thing you can do to our husbands. So it's critical to give your husbands a safe place to start to be that prayer warrior in your family and be that spiritual leader. So it's critical. And I see it too often where wives are criticizing their husbands when they take that first step.
Mm. Well, we've spoken quite a bit about your ministry, Sacred Marriage Ministry, and part of your training has been to work very closely with the Love and Respect organization. You have appeared on this program where we have interviewed Dr. Emerson Eggerich, who is the author of Love and Respect, of course, a 20-year-plus book recently revised. And the simplicity of what that book teaches is amazing. But simple doesn't mean easy. it's very difficult. So he talks about something, and you guys have taught me a lot about this, the crazy cycle. And he talks about the biblical concept that a man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. But a woman is to respect her husband. And one of the most telling things that I remember talking to Dr. Egrich about with you guys here in studio was that he said everybody can understand the concept of unconditional love. Now, we may not be able to do it, but we actually understand what unconditional love is. We know that's the type of love that God has for us. Now, we'd love to be able to unconditionally love our spouse, but here's the thing that he said that really struck me. What we don't understand from a wife's, what a husband expects, he expects unconditional respect. Is that an unreasonable expectation? Anitra?
Absolutely not, because that's their livelihood. Like that's their lifeline. That's what fills their spirit. And he talks about that, about deflating and inflating their, you know, their spirit. So we can either destroy, you know, our husbands with the words we choose and not respecting them as the leader, because we are critical because they don't do things the way we think they should. It can really deflate our husband's spirit, and they have no desire to be the spiritual leader. So it's critical that we are respectful. And really, it's about learning your spouse's love language, whether it's respect or praise, however that looks. I think we as wives look at respect like, well, you have to earn your respect, and that's not the way it works. You have to give the respect to receive the love that you've been longing for.
Mm. Bert, Anitra's already addressed what she's cautioning wives not to, you know, criticize their husbands. And there may be some criticism deserved, but maybe during this time you withhold that. One of the things that I think we all forget is that we need to believe and understand that our spouses have kind intentions toward us. And Bert, you've been really good at explaining, even though Anitra is a very, is volatile an unfair word, Anitra? She sometimes will come at you, more emotionally and passionately, and you have to decode that by understanding her intentions. Explain that to us.
Well, like I was talking about earlier, having that perspective that if you have to study your spouse to understand when she's fearing something or she's emotional about something, and it's not about us. It's about understanding, okay, so what's going on right now? What is, ask the question, you know, what are you going through right now? Do you want me to solve this for you? Do you just want me to listen to you? Or even read her body language, you know? And if you know your spouse, and we've been together for 26 years and married for 21, you know, and it took me almost, 15, 16 years to understand this. And like I said before, I used to go into school. It wasn't my favorite thing. My favorite thing in school was playing sports. You know, I was competitive. But when I learned how to be more competitive in my marriage instead of just in sports, about being a better husband, about being a better father, that was like a fire that started in me to be more competitive and learning about my spouse and learning about my kids. And what is Anitra going through right now that, you know, is it something that a family member caused? Is it something that's going on at work? Something about finances? You know, it can be anything, but if you don't listen to each other, then you're not going to know. Mm-hmm. But that's why I like to pay a lot more attention to her when she's talking, because a lot of times when our spouses are talking, we're not listening. We think we can multitask at the same time that they're talking. But that's why men, if you're doing something and your wife is talking to you and they say, well, you're not really listening to me. It's like, well, you're really not, because you think you are, but you're paying more attention to the task that you're doing instead of looking at that eye contact. Women like that eye contact and that response back, say, you know what, I agree with that. Or not even that I agree with that, but you know what, I disagree with you in this area, but
But I understand where you're coming from.
Burton and Nitra Perez, they are the founders of Sacred Marriage Ministries. They do both marital counseling and premarital. Up to this point, we've been talking about married couples. When we come back after this break, we're going to talk a little bit about people who are dating. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Do you have an old clunker or a good running vehicle? Donate to Joy Junction. It can help bring hope to the homeless. If it's in good condition, great. If not, no problem. Running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us and we'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Here's Joy Junction CEO, Elma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless families, men and women, for more than 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have a new additional space to give more dignity and privacy to those who come to our doors. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage. In the society we're in today, COVID-19 is on the top of all of our minds, and rightly so. But we can also look at the bright side of life, like God still loves us and He loves our families, along with giving us an opportunity like no other to spend time together without the busyness of life. At Indigo Mortgage, we believe in helping families, and we're blessed to be considered an essential business by the government. So we are able to continue helping clients and their families, either by refinancing to a better rate or by helping fulfill their new home purchase. Although we cannot meet face-to-face, we have a full staff available by phone, email, or you can complete an application on our website. Indigo Mortgage is honored to be part of this community, and we're here to help. Contact Indigo Mortgage today, 836-5700. That's 836-5700, or on the net at indigomortgage.net. NMLS 23-1962 and 188-348, and may God bless you.
Can church still happen when church is closed? It already is. With Calvary Church at Home, all regularly scheduled Calvary Church services are still happening. Our midweek and weekend services are broadcast online at live.calvarynm.church, so we can continue to pray, worship, and receive biblical teaching even when we can't gather together as a congregation. So don't miss worship with battle drums. Plus a fresh teaching from Pastor Skip Heitzig on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m., Saturdays at 6:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8, 9:45, or 11 a.m. During Calvary at Home services, you can engage in live chat with Calvary Church pastors. Submit prayer requests and let us know how we can help you with your next step in growing in your relationship with Jesus and people. And if you're healthy and willing, host or join a watch party with five or fewer friends, neighbors, or family members. And join us together for Calvary Church at Home at live.calvarynm.church.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Bert and Anitra Perez on the line with us, on the phone. We're doing all the social distancing thing. Is it a little harder for you guys over the phone than it is in person? Tell me what you think.
No.
No?
We love it. We're supposed to being live on Facebook and doing recordings to our sphere of influence. So this is not bad.
Not bad, okay.
We appreciate being on the radio with you or even on the phone.
Yeah. Want to let our listeners know that if you'd like to talk to Burton and Nitra this afternoon, you can call us at 505-338-5790. You can also email me. That email is jim@abqconnect.online. And in fact, I have an email that came in during the break, and somebody asked me if I would actually share a little bit about Ephesians 5 and the scriptures that I was referring to earlier. So I want to read Ephesians 5:25, because this is a great focus for people that are dating and want to get married, to understand their responsibilities biblically. And then it's also hopefully an encouragement to people that are married. It says this in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the word, the washing of water with the word. you already mentioned that, Bert, that you are already praying with your wife and reading the Word together. So that's something that couples absolutely could be doing today together, is reading the Word. And I'm going to skip down to verse 28. It says, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself." I wonder if that could be interpreted as, you know, you love your body, you're trying to take care of yourself physically and stuff, and you ought to love your wife that same way. Any exercise or anything you guys might recommend while we're in this situation of quarantine?
I love that you said that, because I asked yesterday to my group of wives, what are you guys doing to, you know, stay connected and get through these tough times? And there was a few that said, you know, they're working out more together. And that's what me and Bert are doing. We started a plank challenge as a family, and we're trying to do a 3-minute plank. We are working our way up to 3 minutes. So doing things like that, going outside, going for walks, working out together, something me and Bert do regularly, even outside of this COVID. We've always worked out together. We enjoy each other's company, and I would love to get, you know, marriages to that point. And that is something me and Bert are very passionate about doing, is equipping couples so they know how to handle each other, so they can get to that thriving stage in their marriages. But funny thing too, Jim, when we're talking about what are we doing to cope with this, I had a wife who drove an hour out of town just to go grocery shopping so she can have some time to herself. So find ways like that. She drove an hour out to go to the grocery store instead of just, you know, 15 minutes down the road just to have some alone time. So you got to be creative and in these times of being cooped up in the house.
Well, let me ask either one of you. What's that, Bert?
Sorry about that, Jim.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I said, I actually like this quarantine, being home with the wife and kids. I enjoy it, you know, playing games. I like to play games, and I like to sit outside and just enjoy the weather. I mean, yesterday was kind of windy, but the weather lately has been really nice. And, you know, I enjoy being home with the family.
Yeah. Well, as I said before the break, we need to talk about couples that are not married, that are dating. And what does that look like now, guys?
They shouldn't be seeing each other.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of long-distance relationships, you know.
That's the tough part. And, you know, during this time, I think it's something that needs to be considered. I don't know. That's a tough one, because especially if you're dating, you shouldn't be living together, right? So you should be separate to follow the guidelines that the authorities have put in place. So I think it's critical to respect and take into consideration why we're having to spend some time apart. But being creative, I think that's the biggest thing, is being creative over the phone, through FaceTime, whatever it is, and being for the boyfriends to be that spiritual leader and showing their girlfriends what a true marriage, that it exudes Ephesians 5 looks like, is building her up to become the godly woman that God has created her to be.
Yes.
And this is a good time for them as well to be able to get to know each other and talk a lot more if they're not being able to see each other, to be able to talk a lot more on the phone or Facebook, and just to get to know each other a lot better on what are their worries, what are their fears, what are their concerns, or not even take it to that point, but, you know, what are you going to do after this? That's where a lot of the perspective needs to come to with a lot of married couples, and even couples that are not dating right now, is what are we going to do after this?
Right.
Because we are going to get out of this.
Right. This is going to pass. So it's real. And actually, Jim, I'm even working on this in my membership group, where I have wives, or mentor wives, and I have them working on vision. I think it's critical during this time to have vision, because we can tend to focus too much on what's happening in the now and lose sight of what God has for us. Like, we still have a divine calling on our lives. Just because we're in a storm right now doesn't mean we can't dream together as a couple for what God has for us. So it's been an incredible assignment with my my wives, and they thought I was crazy at first because I'm talking about vision, but it really opened up their minds, gave them a different mindset about, hey, things are going to get better.
Mm, absolutely. I want to share one more verse. I want to switch over to Hebrews 4:12. This is my favorite verse in Scripture, and it's something that people don't, they kind of skim over it. It says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So whereas you could read a, you know, great novel, you could read Moby Dick or something else, the words that you read there are not living and active. And they're not judging the thoughts and intentions of your heart. They're very entertaining and a lot of fun. And there's a lot of creative things that Christian people do all of the time. My friend Dave Slade shared with us about his book called The Christ Virus, in which he talks about a epidemic caused by a biological weapon being stolen out of a country like China. Vaguely familiar, guys. I mean, he's just being creative and trying to fill in things that he takes. He's a biblical, a prophetical novelist. He takes actual Bible scripture and then he fills in the blanks, the things that we don't know about, and he creates a creative story. But the reason I share that is what he's writing is not the Word of God. What he's writing is entertainment based on the Word of God. But when you actually read scripture together, It's penetrating, it's helpful, it's encouraging, it's that peace beyond any other understanding. And I want to read the last verse of Ephesians 5, because I didn't get to that, because it's very critical, I think, for women to understand this. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. And, you know, that's what we kind of started the show on, and I'm just encouraged that people could read together in many different ways. Bert, I'm going to ask you a question directly that's kind of off script from what we set up in terms of topics we would discuss today. But when was the last time, and I don't want you to be embarrassed by this because I don't know the last time I wrote a physical letter on a piece of paper, but I want to ask you, when was the last time you wrote Anitra a letter? Because I think that might be a fun thing for everybody to do during this time.
Yeah, and that's been a while for me. I think I was still working at the prison, I think, the last time I wrote her a letter. I could be wrong, though. No, actually, I think it was for an anniversary. Mm. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Just for an anniversary. I wrote it in my book, and I showed it to her. So it's been since July that I wrote her a letter. But it's like all my letters I write to her, I think about all the blessings that we've had since the first day we met. And I like to go back to it and read it. And the reason I like to read it to her is because I like to see her face light up.
Mm. Yes.
About the things that we went through.
Yeah. Anitra, how do you feel when you get a letter or a card from Bert?
You know, I love it because he has some time to pour out. But my love language is more of doing things. Like I told you, making my coffee in the mornings and him praying for me, that is huge. And I know that is a desire for many wives, is they want their husbands to pray over them. They want that. So I think that is more critical than just writing a letter. When you can have your spouse pray over you and speak words of life over you, at least that's my love language. And I think that's the critical piece here, is what, you know, lifts your spouse's spirit and do more of that. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to buy flowers or write a letter. It's really setting what your spouse's love language is. And what does respect look like to your husband? Does it mean saying, hey, honey, I really appreciate you going to work every single day and providing for our family? Or does it look like not nagging whenever he loads the dishwasher? So it's critical to really find what lifts your spouse's spirit.
You've mentioned love languages a couple of times, and you're, of course, referring to Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. I would encourage couples that are dating to actually read that book together. The five love languages are words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, quality time, and physical touch. Anitra, which one of those is your love language? Is it acts of service?
I always tell her it's all of them.
It's all of them, huh? You got to do it all, Bert. The expectations are high in the Perez family.
Well, I've actually added one to the five love languages, and we actually have a few different ones. But for my true love language is when Bert truly opens up. Do I expect this to happen all the time? But on the few occasions where he has opened up to me, I felt a true intimate connection with him because he shared his feelings and he's opened up to me. And that right there is the core to my heart. Like, that is something that really makes me feel connected. And we're one when he can feel vulnerable and feel safe to share some of his fears or some of his concerns or when he's having a bad day, because our husbands feel the pressure to be the protector and the provider, and they can't show that side. They've been, you know, raised up to be men of honor and don't show your emotional side. So when our husbands are able to do that, it's just a different level of connection for us wives.
And that's why I say women, when men are vulnerable with you and they're open with you and they're, if you get that emotional side from them and they're vulnerable, don't take it for granted. Don't throw it back in their face, because it's going to take a long time before you see it again.
Well, we've got to take one more break. Say thank you to our sponsors. We have some really loyal people supporting the ministry of KNKT. So Bert and Anitra, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Imagine fighting this war as a civilian. Imagine not knowing how to shoot a gun.
The new movie Resistance, now streaming on Amazon Prime, is a portrait of Marcel Marceau, the famous French mime. But there's more to his story. In 1938, the Germans are marching on France, and more than 100 Jewish orphans end up in his French town. And Marcel gets deeply involved in saving these kids' lives. Resistance spotlights the courage of Marcel Marceau and other French freedom fighters. Even though the violence here earns an R rating, Marcel's determined to save Jews ultimately makes this a story of redemption amid loss. We're giving Resistance a 2 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Jonathan McKee for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org or call 898-5520. Since 1970, the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has provided a loving, safe Christian home for children in need. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. When you give to Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, you help provide a home to children in our community who need a safe, loving environment. To find out more, call Albuquerque Christian Children's Home at 898-5520. Or give securely online at acchkids.org. That's acchkids.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
If you have been wondering what's going on at Calvary Albuquerque for Easter, some new plans have been announced. We talked about a little bit earlier in the program. On Easter morning, Sunday morning, at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m., Calvary will be mandating that all attendees who want to come to an Easter service will stay in their cars in the parking lot, and they're going to set up this amazing stage. They're going to have worship. They're going to have teaching. It'll be spectacular. There's only going to be 1,000 cars allowed to come in, and those tickets will be free, and information is available on the Calvary Church website. That's calvarynm.church or calvaryabq.org. And those tickets will start being available tomorrow. So I think it's a really creative solution to the quarantining that we have, and it should be a lot of fun. For those of you who don't want to battle the traffic, which I'm one of those, I will be able to watch the show, the whole service and worship and everything in the safety of my home, along with all of you who are going to stay at home. Both the 11 o'clock a.m. service will be live on KRQE and their four stations. They have a number of stations in town, which I didn't even know about all these. KASY, My 50, KWBQ, CW, The CW, and NRQE, Fox 2. And so that is on Easter Sunday. That should be a blast. Burton and Nitra, you guys are amazing. I appreciate you spending the time with us, sharing your hearts. Let's talk a little bit about Sacred Marriage Ministry. How can people get in touch with you and utilize your services?
Yeah, so they can get a hold of us at our phone number. It's going to be 909-287-1209.
909. Tell me that one more time.
909-287-1209.
1209. And Anitra, you've mentioned that you've got some women doing some mentoring things. How do they get signed up to do that with you online?
I think the best thing, they can give us a call or they can search on Facebook. It is a Facebook private group, and it's called New You, New Marriage. They can also visit Sacred Marriage Ministry. That's where I provide one-on-one accountability coaching to help wives become, you know, unmovable and unshakable in their marriages. And it's incredible to see what God is doing in this group.
Were you guys ever embarrassed about what you've both told me were shortcomings in your relationship? Were you embarrassed about that and not willing to share it, but now you see the power of God working through those weaknesses?
And that was me, because in the beginning, whenever we first went through our big old trials in 2008, we went through through counseling and everything, and then our marriage was starting to get stronger. And then Nitra wanted to start leading a small group for marriages. And I was like, no, I'm okay. You know, our marriage is good. It's because it wasn't that I didn't want to do it. It's that I still felt a little bit of shame of what I had done.
Mm.
But once I got over that, it wasn't about the shame, that God loved me no matter where I was at. Then I was able to understand what he wanted to do through our testimony for other relationships. And I was making it more about me whenever I was thinking about the shame instead of about what testimony can make for another relationship, another hurting marriage.
Right. I have heard a number of pastors, very conscientious, very forthright, people that lead people to Christ all the time. They're great teachers. But I've heard a couple of different pastors literally say this in their congregations. The number one thing is that you obey the word of God. And I don't personally think that is the number one thing. That's an important thing. But the number one thing is that we realize that Jesus died on the cross. And there is nothing that we are not forgiven for. And that's the number one thing. We need to receive the grace of his forgiveness and just say, yes, Lord, I need you to forgive me. That's the number one thing.
Yeah, receiving that grace.
I agree, Jim, and I think that is hard whenever you are in a church and you have a story such as ours. You do receive judgment. You absolutely do get judgment on that. But I think it's more powerful to be able to say, hey, this is what we went through, but look at what God did. Look what he did to our marriage. It is possible, because there are way more hurting marriages out there then you have the ones who don't have issues. So it's critical to be able to be vulnerable and share your testimony and how God redeemed your marriage.
Burton and Nitra, Sacred Marriage Ministries. We're out of time, guys. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Keep you safe.
Thank you. God bless.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.